Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Radio Joe producing the program across the way. I'm Bill Michaels. We are glad to have you. Bring him in now. He is the Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback and with Seahawks Radio, and always good to get a chance to get him on the program. Warren Moon now joining us. Warren, how you been?
I have been great. How you guys doing?
We are doing well.
Season is over. We're getting to the real stuff this week.
Yeah. So tell me, in your playing days, what was it like for you going through, you know, the preseason? Obviously, training camps are a little bit different compared to what they are today, but what was it like for you to finally get to the regular season after everything you went through in training camp?
Well, you know, it was a grind back in those days. It's not like what they're doing today where they don't have two-a-days anymore. It's a little bit easier training camp experience. I know their year is a lot longer because they start a little bit earlier with the OTAs and all that. But training camp for us was a mental and physical grind to get through it. And it really made you mentally and physically ready for the season, kind of battle-tested you. And once you went into the season, you were just glad that you were out of training camp and out of those double days. But I know I needed that time. I think all of our teams needed that time in order to create that continuity and chemistry that you needed and the unity away from the field and just to get yourself ready mentally and physically for a long, hard season. And I thought training camp did that back in those days.
Well, talk specifically about that because this year, you know, obviously with so many guys in training camp and cutdowns not being until after your final preseason game, a lot of the starters, offensively speaking, did not play. Aaron Rodgers took very few snaps. They got a new guy in Martellus Bennett, a new guy in Lance Kendricks, a new guy on the guard position at Jari Evans, obviously four running backs. So how tough is it to get to come out? I mean, this thing looks like a Ferrari on paper, but how tough is it to make it run coming right out of the chute?
You know, that's the question that every coach has to balance because every coach is worried about his players getting injured in preseason games. That's why they're not playing them a lot. But then you worry about how sharp and crisp are we going to be once the season gets going from these guys not playing. So you're hoping that because these guys are veteran players that they'll be able to come together a little bit quicker. But you got to remember these are new faces. When you get into regular season games compared to preseason games, it's a totally different atmosphere. So you're hoping and praying that these guys click really quickly, but sometimes it doesn't always happen that way.
What's easier to make click, defense or offense?
Probably defense, because defense is more reactionary. Offense has a lot more to do with timing and cohesion and chemistry, as I talked about, especially with offensive line play, quarterback-receiver communication when it comes to different situations in ball games. You want to make sure you're on the same page in every situation. So I think it takes a little bit longer for offense to really gain their personality than it does for a defense, because defense is basically reactionary and just finding the football and going after it.
Talk about the offense for what the Seattle Seahawks are bringing to the table. One of the biggest concerns in the offseason was to bolster that offensive line. Do you think they've done enough?
Well, they thought they had until we lost George Fant, our left tackle, for the season with a ACL injury. So that really set us back a little bit. But we've got a young guy by the name of Riso Diambo who they think is capable. He played the last two preseason games, did a nice job for us. But like I said, the preseason is nothing like the regular season, and he's going to face some of the best passing defensive ends in the league at that position. So he's going to be challenged and tested. But offensive line play has more to do, I think, with playing together as a unit, communication in that, than it does as individual players. But there are going to be times where you as an individual are going to have to go up against that individual pass rusher, and you need to win more times than not. Where other times during the game, you can do things to protect, you know, offensive linemen, whether you slide in the line a certain way, whether you're keeping a tight end over there sometimes, whether you're chipping with a back to help him out. There's things you can do to help him out, but there will be times where he's going to be isolated and he's going to have to win against that defensive end.
So we're all talking about Eddie Lacy here, and I know Eddie Lacy is a guy that at times looked good in the preseason. He ran with reckless abandon last year before he ended up going down with the injury. I thought he was having a pretty good season. How much do you see him being integrated into this offense?
They want him to be a big part of it because they want to get back to that physical, tough running game that we had when Marshawn Lynch was with a member of our football team. And that's something that Pete Carroll kind of it's a big part of his philosophy, that everything starts on offense with the running game, and then everything comes off of that with play-action passes and bootlegs and things like that with Russell Wilson. So we want Eddie to be a big part of that running game, to go along with some of our other young running backs that we have, like Thomas Rawls. If he can stay healthy, he's already proven that he can play in this league. C.J. Procyte the same way. We have a young kid by the name of Chris Carson who we think is going to be a great addition this year. He had a great preseason. So, but Eddie's going to be a big part of that. And, you know, he showed well during the preseason, but he's still, I think, not 100% because he's coming off of that ankle injury, and he probably doesn't have the explosiveness that you want him to have right now, but he still runs very physical and very tough, and that's what they're looking for right now. And they feel like as the season goes along, he'll get healthier.
Defensively speaking, you look at this team, and they just look like a juggernaut. I know that the Bennett thing has been blown up really big, and rightfully so. I guess, is that a bonding moment? Can that be good? Can that be, because I never know how to read when guys kind of get out there in the publicity eye and all of a sudden they have to then go back and be a football player all over again. How do you see that working?
Well, yeah, I think it can be a bonding thing for the football team, and I think everybody has a lot of respect for Michael on the field and off the field, and some of the things that he's doing, you know, as far as being politically active and socially active, and then what he does in the community anyway. So I think the players feel a lot for what the experience that he had to go through in Las Vegas, even though it was, you know, 10 days ago or whatever it was. It's still something that's lingering because it's still in the media. So I think it'll be more of a rallying cry for them. And knowing Michael, he's going to use it as motivation to probably have one of his best football games if he can. And hopefully everybody else will follow suit, especially on that defensive side of the ball.
Russell Wilson last year, a little bit nicked up. This year, healthy, feeling good. You know, you would expect him to return to form. I guess question is, what is the expectation of this team? They're considered one of the top five teams in all of football. Is it Super Bowl or bust?
You know, that's kind of the way they look at it around there. They feel like the window that they have with this group of core players probably has another couple of years left, and they want to take advantage of every opportunity that they have. So most of these guys are in their prime or just entering into their prime. Like Russell Wilson is only 28 years old, so he's still got a lot of time left. So as long as you have a quarterback that gives you a chance to win every week, and then you've got a defense that can play. And the big key for us this year is going to be, can our running game get back up to speed to where it was a couple of years ago? This team has a chance to go a long way just because of the experience and the talent that they have. So a lot of it starts with number three, their quarterback. It's keeping him healthy, keeping him upright. And if he's healthy and upright every week, like I said, they have a chance to win each and every week.
Talking with Warren Moon, he works on the Seattle Seahawks radio broadcast, also the Pro Football Hall of Famer himself. In comparison, these quarterbacks, how similar and how different are they?
Well, they're a lot similar because they can make things happen outside the pocket. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he probably has one of the most gifted arm talents in the league that we've seen for a while. He has a way of making the miraculous play, the miraculous throw, whether it's a Hail Mary or throwing off balance or whatever. And Russell has a lot of those same type of abilities once he gets outside the pocket. So I think the challenge for both of these defenses is, can you keep both of these guys in the pocket and put pressure on them so they don't feel comfortable back there? Because if they do get outside the pocket, it breaks down your whole defense. And if you give them time to stay in the pocket, they'll carve you apart. So that's going to be a key for this football game for whoever wins it. Who can put the most pressure and make each other's quarterback feel the most uncomfortable in the football game?
How good is Aaron Rodgers, in your opinion? I mean, everybody talks about top quarterbacks and wants to rank them and such. I mean, obviously we look at him as a very, very good quarterback, but is he one of the best of all time?
he's got a chance to be, yes. And, you know, if he can win another championship or two, I think that's what quarterbacks are kind of rating on these years. And that's always not fair. But the way the guy has put up numbers and his consistency each and every year, being up there at the top, even though his team doesn't always maybe win a championship, that shows me that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And if you look at his numbers all time, he's right up there with the best numbers all time. So, yeah, you've got to say he's one of the best all time.
Always a pleasure to chat with you, Warren. Thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to seeing you at Lambeau Field this coming weekend, okay?
All right. Should be a fun weekend. Should be a great game.
Looking forward to it. Appreciate it. There you go. That is great Warren Moon, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Seahawks radio analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Always good to talk to him. He was a regular whenever he had a chance to come over and do the Packers postgame show with us back when I was doing it with Brian Noble years ago on the Packers Radio Network. Always good to get him on and talk a little bit. And he's pretty honest about things. I mean, he's really polished is what he's going to say. He's not overly critical, not overly praising. But if you just listen to kind of what he said, man, it's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be fun. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be anywhere from a 4 to 7 point game. And I know there's the spread is 3. I think it's probably going to end up a little bit more than that. But nevertheless, you hope it's in the Green Bay Packers' favor. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. I just during the top of the hour break, got off the phone. And it's been one of those popular things. And because the Iron Horse is a little bit bigger, the cigar dinner coming up for tonight, they released 10 extra tickets. So there are 10 extra tickets that they released for tonight because there is a little bit of extra space. But they released 10 extra tickets for tonight. If you want to go tonight, $59, you get your dinner, you get your drinks, you get some cigars, you get the stories, the Q&A, everything that goes along with it. Going to be a great night tonight down at the Iron Horse Hotel. And the game's obviously going to be on. We're going to be checking that out. So come on out and join us tonight. Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. There's 6 locations in the greater Milwaukee area. There's a couple in Waukesha. There's one in Pewaukee on Pewaukee Road. There's another one in Tosa on North Avenue, down in Kenosha on 22nd Avenue. They're all over. All you have to do is go to Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery or just call them. Just Google them and call them and order your tickets right now. And they can get them to you. So there's only 10 tickets. They just released 10 more tickets for this private thing tonight, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You can be a part of it, and come out and join us tonight down at the Iron Horse Hotel. It's going to be a blast, and it's all brought to you by Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. And you don't have to be a cigar smoker, and you don't have to be a dude. This is open to men and women. Whether you do or you don't smoke cigars, that's fine as well, but we're going to have a fun time tonight. And it's going to take place tonight down at the Iron Horse Hotel. Cocktails and sign-in start about 5:30, dinner about 6:30, and then we all sit down and do a Q&A and stories and such coming up a little bit after that. So it is going to be a really, really, really fun evening down there, and it's all brought to you by Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Going to hear from Aaron Rodgers coming up momentarily. You can be maybe seeing him in person if you go to Lambeau Field. One of the ways to get there, to be sitting on the 50-yard line, plush leather recliners, enjoying yourself, kicking back. That's your Cousin Subs, the best seats in a house contest. Go to Packers.com/best seats, Packers.com/best seats, and you could be a winner. You could be sitting at Lambeau Field. And those recliners, taking it easy, kicking back. How are we looking? Going out and tailgating a little bit ahead of time. Stop off at Cousin Subs. Get yourself the Bill Michaels, the pepperoni meal. Extra mayo, extra cheese, cider Radio Joe cheese curds. Get the beverage of your choice. There you go.
I think it's a good point, Bill.
Thank you very much. Cousin Subs is the way to do it. Go to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats. And get yourself registered. Good stuff there. Aaron Rodgers, happy to finally start the season at home.
I do. I mean, I think it gives us the opportunity to start off the season right against a great opponent and our home crowd, and hopefully they get it rocking, as loud as they want to be on Sunday. It's going to help our defense out.
Get it rocking, Lambeau. says that, you know, they would obviously love to have a very fast start offensively as well.
Well, honestly, not much. I mean, it's your identity is going to be formed as you get out there. We'd love to have a fast start, but we've been able to recover from not as fast of a start as we'd liked in the past. So we don't put extra pressure on these games.
No, but let's be honest. You know, you kept saying that, well, we're fine. Only need so many reps. It's all about the practice reps. You know, you can't now just say, well, if we don't get out to fast start, it's okay. You know, No, nay. This is the reason you don't play in the preseason, is because it's all about the practice reps. So you should get off to a fast start. Says it's important to keep your locker room culture fresh and happy.
Yeah, for sure. I think you have to understand that this is an insulated place. And when you're here for such a long time, you have to fight against complacency of doing things the way you've been doing it every single year. You have to adjust and adapt and evolve.
He's right. But the biggest thing for this group, as any group, it's got to come together. I mean, I remember having conversations with Aaron Rodgers about this in the past, about, you know, when they went to really make a run. And you don't really understand the clubhouse culture, the locker room culture, whatever, until you're about midway through the season. And then you kind of feel as if things are coming together. But you get a sense as to whether or not they could early on. And, you know, then he was asked, hey, look, when that all came together, how was it that you were able to play at that MVP level down the stretch last year?
But the same stuff that's clicked for the last 9 years. It's just back to the basics and, you know, trusting the things that I've learned and taught myself over the years and little reminders. You know, I keep a lot of notes and about games and, you know, pregame and postgame and just going back and reviewing those over the years and what worked, what I was thinking about at certain times and just staying in a really positive headspace.
Okay. So, look, hey, you know, whatever it happens to be that, you know, flips the switch for Aaron Rodgers, you hope the switch gets flipped early in this season, because you'd love to see him perform at that MVP level all season long. And what would it mean for him to be an MVP again?
I mean, I hope we're having this conversation later in the year where we're talking about our team being successful and me playing the right way. Other than that, those are hypothetical questions that in week one, I don't really have a good answer for you.
It is. It's very hard to say, okay, this is what I want. It is what it is. You know what I mean? I hate to say it that way, but you got to get off to a fast start. I mean, that's first and foremost.
Exactly.
You got to get off. You got to get off to a fast start. You got to get everything clicking. And then let the chips fall where they may. But the hardest thing for this team is going to be, if they don't get off to the fast start, how do you then kind of regroup? You know, I mean, granted, even if they go 0-4, I don't think anybody's thinking, oh my God, they're out of the postseason, because this team has shown in the past that they're capable of doing that. But in essence, you know, all we've talked about is fast start. Offense is going to have to carry the defense. And so, yeah, you want to talk about an MVP type of level out of Aaron Rodgers, because you believe, I think most of us do, that you're going to need almost that level for this team to be successful. And then he talks about getting on the same page with Martellus Bennett.
You know, we worked it a little bit on the three drives we had together, but that's what this week has been all about. It's about mixing those things up and trying to get them comfortable here in the different cadences and snap counts and things that we do verbally, especially at home, you know, with the live checks and the dummy checks. So just get on the same page there.
Okay. So if you get off to a slow start, you know, look, I'm not saying there's double talk, but basically it is this. If you get off to a slow start, people are going to say it's because you didn't get on the same page. He only had three drives with Martellus Bennett. You know, if you get off to a slow start, it's because you didn't have enough time working together. But they say you don't need the time working together because the practice reps mean so much, and that's where everything becomes relevant. Look, it's like we can't wait. We don't have anything left to analyze. We just can't wait to get to the game.
Yeah, what if the Packers only put up 10 points on Sunday?
Put it this way.
What
if they put up 10 points? Okay, let's think about this. What if they put up 10 points and then on top of that, the defense, say, shuts out Seattle? Knock me over with a feather, because it wasn't supposed to happen that way. 855-830-86.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. Also, he talks about having Lance Kendricks and Martellus Bennett at the tight end position.
It's nice having those guys. There's a feel. There's different conversations. You know, just now, you know, talking with Marty about, you know, route concepts and different things that we've been working on. it's a different conversation with a guy like that compared to a guy who's younger, just out of college.
You would know.
There you go. Also having, being able to, the goal to win all your home games, being able to win your home games, split on the road, you're going to end up with at least 10, 12 wins. This team has an expectation to be in that particular level, and he talks about that.
You know, obviously we'd like to take care of business at home and win all eight of those games and split on the road. You go 12-4 and you're probably a top one or two seed, and that's kind of what we're talking about as far as getting us in the playoffs and getting at least one game, if not two games at home. That's the goal.
It is the goal. You get a couple of games at home. I mean, we talk about this all the time. Mike McCarthy talks about this. It's about bringing teams into Lambeau Field in the postseason, in the cold, in the snow, and the ice, and in the frigid temperatures, and going out and making them play your game in your place, in your elements.
Hell yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And then he talks about this being a matchup of a couple of teams expected to be together right here at the end of the season.
Well, every game could be looked at in that way. But yeah, I mean, I think our two teams know, you know, when you start the season, training camp, I'm sure 32 teams are talking about winning the Super Bowl. It's not really the case, though. There's not that many teams that have those squads that could do it. Us and Seattle are usually in the mix. They have been, and we have been for a long time. So, you know, it's going to be two teams that expect to be there in the end.
And I think a lot of people are looking at this Seattle matchup and saying, is this a preview of the NFC Championship game? He did go into a little bit of fun and frivolity because he was helping out Sam Decker with his. How about that? The picture of him helping out Sam Decker with his sink.
He was having some sink issues. Asked for my help. He's 23 years old. I know he's engaged. He's taking the next step to being an adult, but he's not quite there yet. So I went under the sink the tutorial taught me to test the switch first, and if what kind of rumble you hear or lack of rumble tells you what's going on with the garbage disposal. So I flipped the switch, and nothing happened. So it means two things: one, it's completely broken, and needs to be changed out, or two, it's not plugged in. Wasn't plugged in. So that's the picture of me holding the plug as I called him from the other room and said, hey, idiot, wasn't plugged in. He's learning.
So there you go. Him and Sam Decker kind of hanging out. Hey, idiot, it's not plugged in.
You know, I'm still, blown away that I ran into Sam Decker at the Sister Bay Bowl in Door County. I don't know. I've been doing this thing now for 6 years, and you're around these guys all the time, but just to run into someone at a local establishment, I don't know. For me, that still starstrikes me.
I was sitting on a cruise ship one time. Guy comes over to me and starts talking to me and recognizes me, and I'm thinking, I know this guy. So it's Dante Culpepper.
He is.
From the years when he was with the Vikings and I was covering them. I was covering the Packers, but, obviously covering them as well in the NFC North. But just weird. Every now and then you're out of that element and you're like, hey, how you doing? I'll buy you a beer. And you just start.
Oh, look who it is. Oh.
I mean, how many times we would be on the road, and I've been on the road before, and players walk into the restaurant. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of restaurants in Milwaukee. My buddy Gino's place.
Yeah.
You want to go, you want to see the who's who, go there after a ball game, after a Bucks game, or, usually the night before the Bucks game when the team's flying to town, go there. That's where the players are. The refs hang out there. The umpires hang out there. Players hang out there. I mean, we just saw during Summerfest, Huey Lewis and the whole group is all sitting in there.
Yeah.
And you're seeing them out of your element. You're sitting at the end of the bar. You're having a plate of pasta. You're face first into something really good here. I'm doing a chicken marsala, and I'm over there who was the girl that did in that movie with Tom Hanks when she did the fake orgasm scene? Meg Ryan. Remember Meg Ryan in that movie? Yes.
No, that's When Harry Met Sally. She was doing that for Billy Crystal.
Was it? Oh, okay. It was Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever. But that's me at the end of the bar with the chicken marsala in front of me and a penne pasta. I make the same noises. And then all of a sudden in walks, some of the umpires, some of the players. They're sitting at the end of the bar talking to you. It is what it is. How are we looking? There you go. You do see them out of their element every now and then. It is time, fantasy football, and I'm sure you're going to be playing tonight. I'm sure you're going to be playing this weekend. So let's get the questions in now. 855-830-8648. You've been waiting for this segment. Paul Charchian is going to be joining us from League Safe Post and League Safe LeagueSafe.com. Coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Going to talk some fantasy football. Taking your questions coming up next. This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. They are the official health care provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I got my knee fixed up, back in the game, feeling great, biking, getting all the mileage in. Need to get really back on the hardcore weight loss thing. I've kind of just maintained throughout the summer. Now it's time to get back because we know the holidays are around the corner, so I'm going to be getting into that here almost immediately, beginning next week. But they have a lot of great stories from success stories at the Marshfield Clinic. Go to YouTube and type in Marshfield Clinic. You'll find it right there. Plus, they have Care My Way, another way to help you out. 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY. 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Or just simply go to marshfieldclinic.org. Find out all about the physicians, the services, the locations, everything they have to offer. Marshfield Clinic, the official healthcare provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Paul Charchian, the Charch from League Safe and LeagueSafePost.com. Now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Time now for fantasy football. Charch, how you been, buddy?
I have been outstanding. How are you?
How many fantasy drafts did you do in the last 2 weeks?
Five of my leagues. It's kind of wall to wall, but it's over now. I mean, now we're seven hours away from kickoff.
I know.
Season starts.
Can't believe it. Tons of questions.
I wish your game was the Thursday night game. I don't know that this is going to be a good one tonight. I think the Patriots are going to steamroll the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a pretty easy game.
I just want to see a good game.
Yeah, well, I'd like to, too. Do you remember the Chiefs game? The last time these teams played was like week three or week four 2 years ago, and Brady had a terrible game, and a lot of us, me included, were like, "This, I think the end's here for Brady." And that turned into a big national talking point because Brady had been kind of average for about a year, and that game was bad, and we're like, this doesn't feel right. And then basically from that point forward, since that Chiefs game 2 years ago, all he's done, you know, be basically perfect for two more years. Yeah. So my feeling is, and I think we may have talked about it last week, but I don't recall. I think the Patriots this year are as poised to go 19-0 as any team I can remember, like in my lifetime, Bill. I mean, this is an absolute juggernaut, and I think it all starts this week against a totally outclassed Kansas City offense, especially that I don't think is going to be able to put a lot of points on the board.
Joe, you got questions?
Yeah, Charge. This Buffalo receiver by the name of Zay Jones just continues to intrigue me. So I've got a fantasy question in regards to receivers. Two out of these 3.5-point PPR, Pierre Garçon, Stephon Diggs, or Zay Jones? Two of three.
Pierre Garçon and Stephon Diggs are your starters. Diggs moves from the slot where he normally plays for Minnesota to the outside where he's going to see a lot of cornerback Sterling Moore, who ranked 64th at cornerback by Pro Football Focus, or in his first ever start, rookie Marshawn Lattimore. So I think Stephon Diggs has got a really tantalizing matchup. And then Pierre Garçon, by the way, if you thought my 19-0 prediction was ludicrous, wait till you hear this one. One of these times, Bill, you're just going to hang up on me.
No, go ahead. I'm always listening, man. You intrigued the hell out of me.
I think Pierre Garçon is going to break Jerry Rice's single-season reception record this year. Not yards, not touchdowns, receptions this year. Pierre Garçon playing from behind in virtually every game. They're going to be passing constantly. If Hoyer can just stay healthy, I believe that he will end up with the single-season reception record. Now, this week he goes up against Carolina. This is a Panther team that finished bottom 10 against fantasy wide receivers last year. A lot of moving parts in the secondary, very young secondary. I like Garçon a lot. He's my wide receiver number 21.
Good, Joe?
No, I got one more.
Oh, geez, here we go.
All right.
Okay. Now, in the other league that I'm in, Brandon Marshall, Zay Jones, Paul Richardson, and I'll throw Jonathan Stewart in there. It's a flex 1-point PPR.
I love Jonathan Stewart. He's way up at my number 14 at the running back position. He goes up against San Francisco. They ranked dead last against the run last year by a mile. And where Jonathan Stewart would have been hurt and has been hurt by Cam Newton in the past, they don't run Cam Newton at the goal line anymore, not since his concussion. And now he's got the shoulder, the offseason shoulder injury. No way are they going to be calling designed runs for Cam Newton on a shoulder he's trying to rehab. No chance. Stewart is sitting on, they're going to get ahead in all probability. They're going to pound Stewart. This is a great opportunity for Jonathan Stewart. If I had to pick one guy out of that list, he would be the guy.
All right, let's get to the phone calls for those that have fantasy football questions for Paul Charchi and Tom listening to us in Greenfield. Tom, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Just got a question for Paul. Paul, would you start Marshawn Lynch or Matt Forte? I have to choose between one of those, or one of the two.
Yeah, this is not close. Marshawn Lynch is my number 11 running back, and Matt Forte is my number 44 running back this week. Lynch is going to be is going to get the vast majority of the carries for Oakland. They go against Tennessee. Tennessee's a good run defense. They were one of the better ones last year. They get the third fewest rushing yards and the third fewest touchdowns. Nevertheless, it's still beast mode who, get this, if you go back to 2013, Lynch still has more broken tackles than any other back in the league, and he didn't play all of last year, and he only played part of the year before that. He's still a special talent, so I'm taking Marshawn Lynch. By the way, in here's ludicrous statement number three, Bill.
All right.
Matt Forte is going to retire or otherwise find his way off the roster. He is a borderline Hall of Famer going through the indignity of being the last veteran standing on the travesty that's happening in New York. And either they will grant his wish and they will trade him to a contender somewhere, which would be a great way to finish his career, or he will just simply walk away from this team at some point.
It's a shame to watch his career end the way it did because he had such high quality, but he toiled away in complete anonymity and unappreciation in the city that is Chicago.
Yeah, I think they kind of got it, and fantasy players loved him, and we understood, but it really is a borderline Hall of Fame career if you look at the numbers, and especially as a receiver.
He was one of the best receivers out of the backfield. I mean, he led the NFC at one point.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, elite pass receiver, good pass protector as well, all-around player. It's kind of sad that the whole thing's ended the way it has here. And I don't think he's got a lot of gas left at this stage, unfortunately. Not a terrible matchup against Buffalo this week, but I want to believe that Bilal Powell is going to end up being the guy that they use here this week.
Let's go to Andy listening to us on the South Side. Andy, you got a fantasy football question for Paul Charchi. Shoot.
Yeah, hey, half-point PPR. I'm looking for a flex position of Devin Funchess, Marvin Jones, or Randall Cobb, and I'll hang up and listen.
See, the reason I like Randall Cobb, and I don't have to tell your astute listening audience, or you, Bill, is the way that you attack Seattle is not on the outside, right? They've got the great cornerbacks. You attack them in the middle of the field, and we've seen Cobb have good, good games against Seattle historically, and I also like Martellus Bennett for the same reason. You want to go after Seattle at the linebacker level in the middle of the field, and that's Cobb territory. You got to pick and choose your starts for Cobb. As we know, you know, last year it was super dicey, but you know, this is not a great group of linebackers. They're very good a lot of places, but not necessarily at the linebacker level outside of Bobby Wagner. So I think I would start Randall Cobb this week. I would start Randall Cobb this week.
Then we've got one from Josh listening to us in Greendale. Josh, you got a question for fantasy football and Paul Charchi.
Yeah. I wanted some advice, but after that Garcon Rice prediction, I don't know anymore. half-point PPR, and I have to choose one of the three, Rishard Matthews, Tyreek Hill, or Kevin White, and I'll hang up and listen.
I don't think Kevin White belongs on a roster, I'll be honest. I just, you know, he's shown nothing to this point. It's a lackluster preseason when they needed him to really shine, and we didn't get that either. There are a lot of guys that I'd rather go to war with. Paul Richardson in your game, I think, is super intriguing. I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Cooper Kupp as a deep guy. Zay Jones, who Joe obviously loved. This week, you want to start Rishard Matthews. He played against this week's opponent, Oakland, in week three of last year, didn't do much of anything there. But from that point forward, from week three forward, Rishard Matthews averaged 70 yards and almost a touchdown per game. The Raiders' secondary is in all kinds of flux. Sean Smith got arrested, first-round rookie. Gerrion Conley's unlikely to play because he's got a leg injury. It's a good opportunity for Rishard Matthews, and I would start him. My number 23 wide receiver, and I should mention, well, I mentioned 23 wide receiver. All my player rankings available for free at fanball.com.
Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get back. We'll talk to John, Rick, Nick, and a cast of thousands. Twitterverse is blowing up as well. Stick around. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show with Paul Charchi and our fantasy football guy coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Get back into the fantasy football chatter coming up here in just one moment. Our good friends at FanDuel want to remind you that football season is here. And speaking of fantasy, this is the time to do it. Play some fantasy at FanDuel.com. You can do that at FanDuel.com. And all you have to do is if you hit the Join Now button, use the promo code UNIT, and you are in. It's that simple. They do it for as little as a buck or as much money as you think you can get back in return if you are a more than a novice, we'll say. Maybe you're looking for the advice from our buddy Paul Giorgi in here. Who knows?
Yeah.
But go to FanDuel.com, F-A-N-D-U-E-L, FanDuel.com. Check it out for yourself. And many, many people have won a lot of money and had a lot of fun doing it. You can get it started for as little as a dollar. That is FanDuel.com. Charge, how you been, buddy? You doing good?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Hey, can we just talk your game for a minute? I mean,
sure.
It's a fascinating game anyway. But tell me a little bit about Doug Baldwin versus Quentin Rollins. What do you think about that matchup?
Rollins has performed much better than he did last year in this camp. But there is still you want to see what happens because last year, 2 years ago, they performed Rollins and Randall both performed extremely well.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of the fence, they didn't look good at all last year. So the question then becomes, will the real Rollins and the real Randall please stand up? They're going to get tested early. Now, they brought in Devon House because Devon House is a bump-and-run, press-man kind of guy. He reminds me a lot of Al Harris without the turn-and-go speed, so to speak. So that's what Dom Capers wants to play. They couldn't do that last year because both guys were running on groin injuries. So now we'll see. We'll see what they're going to bring to the table because I'm anxious to see how they're going to use this this safety core. They're going to run safeties in there as linebackers now.
Really?
Yeah. They have Morgan Burnett, they have playing middle linebacker. So... this is going to be a metamorphosis for Dom Capers and his defense.
If they somehow don't improve defensively and especially against the pass, how much of a hot seat is Dom Capers on?
That's a great question because it seems, I mean, you always take it into consideration with what the season brought you. Was it a lot of injuries? Were there a lot of problems or were you just bad? So my assumption is that, If everybody stays healthy, they've given him a lot of different guys. They've got bodies up front now, much like the rotation they had in 2010. So we'll wait and see. If it doesn't perform well, or at least not in the top 15, then you would say, okay, maybe it's time to move on. But for all intents and purposes, these new nitro packages and everything they want to run out there and going smaller, more athletic, and faster, they believe they have a defense now to compete with anybody that anybody wants to run across the middle. But you're playing four teams that can run the ball extremely well right out of the chute, and I'm throwing Cincinnati into that mix because they've got a good trio, and probably the second best player on that team that nobody's talking about is Mixon.
Yeah, Mixon's really good. Their offensive line, though, awful.
Right.
The two tackles have, I believe, zero combined NFL snaps for their left and right tackles, and that's going to be a real work in process. Is it process or progress?
Progress,
progress for them. Ty Montgomery, I think, is going to be fascinating. In the matchup last year, he only got the 9 carries, but he managed a touchdown and 86 total yards, which is awfully good against Seattle, a team that didn't give up a single running back receiving touchdown last year, and they're very hard to run on generally. I can't wait to see if he and the offensive line there is up to the challenge, because obviously Seattle's front four is ridiculous. So if you can get something going here in this week with Ty Montgomery, man, does that bode well for the rest of the season, really.
All right, let's get back to the phone calls. Talk to John listening to us in Green Bay on WNFL. John, how you doing?
Hello, real good. 12-team standard league, and you're touched on my guys here. I'm starting Todd Gurley, but then I have either Ty Montgomery or Joe Mixon. for my
other
starter.
I mean, Joe Mixon's one of three guys that are going to touch the ball there. And Ty Montgomery, I mean, you guys saw it like I did. I didn't see any real threat to his carries arrive there. So I think Montgomery's going to get 80% of the looks, and Joe Mixon might get 30 or 40%. That's just not enough. And he's got a tough matchup with Baltimore anyway.
Good stuff, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to Nick listening to us in Kimberly. Nick, you got a question for Paul Charchian?
I have a trade offer that was offered to me. It would be for Martavius Bryant for Kareem Hunt. Right now, I'm pretty stacked on wide receiver. I have Crabtree, Marshall, and Alex Green.
Yeah, it's a fair offer. Now, that said, Bryant is going to blow up on Sunday, and a great opportunity on Sunday. But long-term, and Kareem Hunt's got the toughest matchup of his whole year this week. So you're going to lose that deal in week one, and then after that, it's going to level out, and you're going to have a very good running back in Kareem Hunt, who I believe is going to emerge as a very good and reliable fantasy producer. We should mention, the Browns cut Joe Hayden a couple of days ago, like 4 or 5 days ago, and then today, they just, in the last hour, they cut one of their safeties, Calvin Pryor, because he got in a fight. So now the secondary is missing two guys that were going to be starters a week ago. So
amazing.
Here comes Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and Ben Roethlisberger. It's gonna be a disaster.
Charge, always fun. Great start to the season, and we'll chat again next week, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Charchian from League Safe Post and League Safe and LeagueSafePost.com. Both of those websites, you can read his stuff there. Great fantasy football stuff, as always. We still have another hour yet to go. Stick around. We have some buy or sell coming up. And we'll get into how many wins you think the Packers are going to get this season. I'm saying 11 plus or minus one. Maybe you have yours set at higher. I actually went through it last night and ended up with 12 wins, give or take. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
This is the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.